Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk 204. I don't know if my timer was off by a second or if my monitor's time was off by a second. I'm not really sure. But I don't know. That was some kind of discrepancy. I can't really describe it to you. But what up, though, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, what's good, man? How you doing tonight?
Man, I just saw a huge centipede on my wall. I had to send him to hell. I might burn the whole house down, but I'm debating it if I'm going to burn the whole house down or just my apartment.
Hey, man.
Man, I just can't deal with those things, bro.
Okay. Hey, man.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, centipede, yeah.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of those because I got like a basement apartment, so I wouldn't, you know, too many to T's liking, you feel me? Yeah, so I don't even know what happened to him. His body went flying. I don't even know where it went. I had to hop in the shower. I was like, well, we got to go. Time of business over here. You know, it just hit me, actually, before I got on the show, you know, as it always does. You know, we always said this, too. Like, we could pretty much freestyle. We can kind of go between whether we want to be more organized or less organized. And honestly, either way we do it, we pretty much have a good showing regardless. I don't mean to brag, but sometimes you got to brag.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. So one thing that I didn't realize is that though I want to say between this show and last show, the last UFC event they had was the Rob Font fight.
True.
I don't think we've been on since that fight happened, and it kind of feels weird.
Yeah,
now we were on since then?
Yeah, we was on last week.
After that fight, though?
Yep.
How come I don't remember that at all? Did we even talk about it?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on. So that explains why I thought that fight was this past weekend, because for some strange reason, we didn't talk about it. Oh, that was because we did our debate show. Okay, that's right, yeah. We did our debate show last week. Okay, that makes sense. Otherwise, I would have been kind of looking at you. I would have been looking at you sideways, bro, if we didn't talk about my boy, you know, on a show where we're talking about news and such. But we had our debate show, so it's understandable. But I think that's what we got to kick it off with. So, tell me this. I want to hear from you. Cody Garbrandt, former 135 world champion, versus Massachusetts' own number 3 ranked bantamweight in the world, Rob Font, from straight out of Woburn, about 20 minutes away from where I live. Did you watch the fight? And if so, what did you see in the bout?
I thought Font looked really good. I thought his striking was really good. I was worried about him being counterpunched by Cody, but Cody really didn't show me anything in that fight. Font had him backing up pretty much the whole fight. I think that Cody has it in his head now about his defense, which is bad for him. Because when he doesn't let his hands go, he isn't a good fighter. Because it ain't like he can wrestle. So only thing he got is his hands. So that being said, I thought Rob looked really good. And I liked the way how he kept the pressure on. And he just stayed. He was relentless in staying on Cody the whole fight.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, I'll say this. Rob kind of looked like a man on a mission to me. I mean, that's what I saw. He looked like a man on a mission to me. It just seemed like I was kind of shocked because I thought we would have saw a lot more. You know, I thought we would have saw a lot more from Cody, and we really didn't. And I'm kind of surprised. It could very well be what you said about how it's a mental thing for him at this point. you know, and I don't really know at this stage, like, I mean, I don't really know because to me, like, I don't really think he was winning previous fight, and he kind of got lucky with that big shot at the end of the fight, which kind of, like, brought his kind of, like, his whole – and I'm a big fan of Cody, but it's just I feel like he really just had that, like, kind of – I feel like he was losing his previous fight. I feel like he was losing to Sun Tzu, and he kind of got that big shot, and then that kind of brought his whole, you know, a little bit more hype to his name again. But then it was like when he went in there versus my boy Rob Font, it was like it just seemed like there really wasn't much that Cody could do with him in there. It just seemed like, I don't know, he was just and Cody has looked so good, you know, in terms of the boxing exchanges, besides, like, some of these technical mistakes that he just makes over and over again, I didn't see anything like that from him in that fight. He looked like he had worked on, at least to me, he had worked on some of those things that were kind of plaguing him before in his previous fight. But at the same time, it just seemed like he was still getting outboxed so bad, and it was like, he was kind of just getting walked down. Did you feel like that? He was just kind of getting walked down?
Yeah, it was I think he felt Rob Font's power. And when he felt this power, he was like, man, I can't make any mistakes, so this guy will catch me. But Rob never got out of his game plan. He stayed within his game plan, kept pressuring Cody. And Rob played good defense. His defense was actually pretty good because he really didn't allow Cody to counterpunch him too much. So I think Cody, man, he's been with Team Alpha Male so long with Uriah and them. It might be time for him to – you can train with Uriah and them, but you might want to get with another camp to add something to your game just so you could become a little bit more well-rounded. Right now, he's a one-dimensional guy, bro. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Have you ever seen Cody take anybody down? I think he took Dominique Cruz down, like, what, one time? Maybe twice, maybe?
I mean,
and I have never seen him take anybody down.
Okay, so that's another point that I feel like is relevant, right, is that, you know, the thing was kind of like this. It was like, I don't remember anything in the Cruz fight, you know, as far as takedowns. I don't remember him even attempting a takedown. Maybe I'm forgetting. He may have. But as far as this past one, I know he did have a few. I want to say he had landed a few takedowns on record. I don't have the stats, but I want to say he probably did land a couple takedowns on Rob. But my thing with it was is that while Rob didn't do too well defending it, while Rob didn't do too well defending the takedown, I think he was still prepared for the possibility of going to the mat because of how quickly he got up. It was like every time Cody was taking him down, it wasn't like he was stuck there. And, like, I don't know if that's a testament to Rob having plans, you know, okay, we're probably going to get taken down at some point in this fight, but focus on the boxing. I think we already have him beat there. You know, maybe it was something like that. And he was just ready. He was like, okay, I might get taken down, but I really don't care. I don't think his wrestling game is really that much of a concern to us. So let's just rock with what we know. That could be what his camp said. And I think that could be something that his camp said because they really – maybe they didn't feel threatened by Cody's wrestling. They knew he would probably use it based on his recent fights, but they didn't feel threatened. So I don't know if it was a testament, you know, if it was more in that area or if it was more in the area of – Rob was not expecting the wrestling. He got taken down at will, but then Cody just wasn't able to keep him down. He had no dominance at all once he took him down. It was like he would get a takedown, and then Rob would be back to his feet within like 5 seconds, and it would just be hammering Cody again. Like,
yeah, it's. I don't know whether or not – I think Cody's game plan was probably to take him down and try to do something
just to make him think about it. So maybe he'll faint and then do something. But, man, none of that. His takedowns didn't lead to, like, submissions, didn't lead to ground and pound. And I think once Rob got taken down, he was probably like, man, come on, bro. This is the best you got. So, I don't know, man. I just feel like Cody, he fought a hell of a fight against Dominique Cruz. Can't take that away from him. But, bro, he just hasn't added anything to his game. He's still susceptible to the right hook. And like you said, Asuncion was built for him because Asuncion is slow. And when you slow, you fighting against a fast guy, then that fast guy is going to make you look bad, like Cody made him look bad.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't really remember that fight too well. I mean, I want to say I had Asuncion up on my cards. Maybe, you know, like I said, I only watched that fight the one time it was live. I never watched it back. Maybe now that I have ESPN Plus, maybe I should watch it back. I've been trying to start watching more fights back and kind of, like, get my money's worth out of it. But, yeah, like I said, I don't really remember the fight too well. I only watched it once. But, I mean, this is a question that I'm kind of wondering at this point. I know when he first said it about moving down to 125, I know when he first said it, I was not a fan of it. He was saying it when he first won the belt. He wanted to fight DJ to win a second belt. I wasn't a fan of it. I was like, okay, like, you kind of just got this belt. Like, do we have to, you know, do the McGregor thing and immediately move down? Okay, and I didn't really feel like he could beat DJ anyways. So I was like, okay, I think he should just chill. So I wasn't a fan. Then he loses the belt. Then he beats the Suns out, says again that he wants to fight. You know, they booked him to fight Figueiredo for the flyweight title, which I also didn't like and wasn't a fan of that fight. I mean, the fan itself, from like a casual fan's perspective, I think was a good fight, and that's why they did it, because that was just a scrappy kind of fight that I think, you know, that's the kind of fight where you can, like, show someone that fight that doesn't watch UFC, and that would make them a fan, if you ask me. A Figueiredo and Garbrandt fight, especially as a title fight, that's something that makes people into fans, because that has potential to be a very, very crazy fight, I'll say that. But I wasn't a fan of the politics of it. I didn't like the matchmaking of it. I thought it was just random, and they just kind of threw him in there off one win and, you know, never fought in the division. It just seemed so random to me. But what I'm actually, at this point, I'm actually considering it. At this point, I'm really actually considering it. I'm like, should he go down to 125? Because I feel like, you know, there was a time when Cody looked like, it looked like his power was just too much for some of these guys, and his speed and his power was too much for these guys at 135. I don't feel like that's the case anymore. It's starting to be like, you know, the 135 division has gotten a lot deeper, and it has a lot of new talent. If we're going to keep it 100, the 135 has gotten a lot better since, you know, the era of, you know, the Cruz and Garbrandt fight. Like, you know, since, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, the division's a lot different now. You know, it's not the roster it used to be. Like, these are a lot tougher guys, if you ask me. So, I don't know, man. I think, you know, him testing out flyweight, I don't think it would be terrible. What do you think about it?
I like the Figueiredo fight. 125 really isn't that deep. So he probably could go down there, maybe fight the loser of Figgy and Moreno, just to see how his body reacts, and then go from there. Can he make 125? That's the question. Can he make 125? He can make 125, I'm all for it, but I don't know, man. I know at 125 he'll probably be a lot. His speed will be there and his power should be there. But if his speed isn't there, true 125ers are truly, truly fast. And I don't know whether or not he could keep up with some of the best 125ers in the world coming down from 135.
Yeah, I mean, if he were to go down there, what I would honestly want to see, and maybe, you know, a lot of people would probably say no, but I don't know, man. I think the way he looked at bantamweight, I wouldn't even really want to put him into, like, you know, the title contention fight. I'd kind of want him to take a fight and then see how he does with that. And then, you know, maybe put him against a Perez or one of those guys, you know, who are kind of like in the top five. They're right there. But, you know, Perez lost when he fought for the belt. So maybe put him in like with a guy like that or a guy like Askarov. Maybe put him in against one of those guys who are kind of right there, but they're not at the tippity-tippity top. They're just kind of like biting the, you know, they're kind of like biting the edges of it. I say put him in there if he's going to go down. I like the idea of him going down. Put him against one of those guys, you know, and see how he looks there. That would probably give his confidence back. If he could get a win off one of those guys, I'm not assuming that he can beat them, but if he can, I think that gets some of his confidence back. And then, you know, off that win, and depending on how he looks, you know, if he gets a finish or if he looks kind of dominant or whatever, then you can kind of look at the you know, the title fight and say, okay, like maybe I'll take the loser of that fight, you know, and then or whatever, depending on how it is. If he goes in there and sparks, you know, a Perez or Askarov in the first round, then okay, have him fight the winner of the title fight for the belt. Screw it. But if it's competitive and we're still kind of questioning it and we're like, okay, he looked good, but like he didn't really dominate. Okay. Then I say, you know, if it goes to decision or something like this, then you put him against the loser of the title fight. So say Moreno loses, say Moreno loses his belt, or Figueiredo wins the belt. I think you put him against, you know, whichever way that goes.
I like that idea. Probably a guy that's probably a fringe, probably the fourth through sixth guy. Will probably be a good test for him at 125. I like that. I can roll with that.
Yeah, I just feel like it's, I wouldn't want to. I'm still kind of questioning him, and especially with the way he looked against Font. I mean, at the same time, we really don't know for sure whether it was, did Cody not look that good or did Font just look that good that Cody wasn't able to shine, you know, so that's another dynamic that we haven't really put on the table yet. Cause we're kind of talking about, you know, whether Cody, you know, is not really on par with the 135ers now. But I mean, like I was saying, the division has gotten a lot better. Maybe these dudes are just that good. I mean, maybe Font was just on one that night and he really just, you know, he definitely put on a performance, if you ask me. So, I mean, I think, that actually leads into my next question. Never mind Cody, right? That leads into my next question.
Okay.
My boy Rob Font said this, because being the fact that we're going to be waiting for the rematch later this year, he was talking about, you know, he wouldn't mind them coming out with an interim belt for the 135 division. In the meantime that, you know, we're waiting for the rematch with those two guys, you know, and he was saying, you know, he'd be open to being a fill-in for the Dillashaw fight. And if he's not a fill-in, you know, put him, you know, in there for an interim belt against the winner of that fight. What do you think about that?
If they're going to do an interim belt, I know the winner of Corey Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw should be in there. And who did you say Rob Font against?
Nah, so he said he would want to fight the winner for the interim belt.
Oh, the winner of TJ Dillashaw and Sandhagen. Okay. I like that because all of them will be probably in the top five. And I will hope that it will be Font versus Sanhagen. Give us new blood. You know, I like the new blood thing, especially at 135. Man, I know me and you are fans of Aljamain, dog. But I just don't feel like he should be in there, man. I think he should be stripped, dog. I don't think you should do an interim belt. You do Jan versus Font, Sanhagen versus Dillashaw, and the winner is the champ.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be mad at that. You know, I definitely wouldn't be mad at that. I mean, you know, I am a fan of Sterling. I've been a fan of him since he was, you know, before he was even in the top. But, you know, when his first few fights, you know, he was non-ranked for his first few. That was the first time I'd ever even seen his name. And I think, you know, when it was one of the first fights anybody had heard of him. You know, I was a fan of him when he first come on the scene. But, you know, I can't let that hold me to saying, like, oh, let's wait for him, you know, for a whole year. Like, he won the belt off of DQ. It's kind of like, all right, you won the belt off of DQ. And then it's like, then he's out there, like, taking pictures. He's out there taking pictures with Cejudo, you know, trying to. First he was saying he was injured, and then he was taking pictures with Cejudo, you know, trying to hype up that fight. And it's like, man, really? Like, you know, I felt for you at first, but, like, now you're out here trying to sell other fights when we all know that the first fight that you're doing, and you have to do it as a man, if you ask me, as a man, you have to fight Jan again. You can't just run away off of DQ and say, I'm just going to go fight Cejudo. So that's where I definitely lost some respect for Sterling with that, and he's going to have to come correct to be more of a fan of him again, because I'm not really – I'm with you. At this point, they could just go and go for the vacant belt. I really don't even care. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. In a way, I kind of feel for Jan, but at the same time, who did he really beat to get to be the champ? He was only on a three fight win streak or whatever. So I would feel bad for him because he was a former champ. But still, you still coming off a loss. Was that loss a fluke? Yeah, it was a fluky type loss, but you still lost. So I was how those four guys fight it out, and whoever's the last man standing is the champ. And then you probably can get Aljamain the first crack at the winner. You know, to unify the belt. I mean, not even unify. We ain't gonna say unify. You get him the first shot to get another title to fight for the belt, because in my mind, he really didn't win the belt. And I hate to say that because I'm such a fan of his.
Yeah, it's just kind of bogus, man. Because if you try to put, I mean, the thing with that is, like, when you really think about it, like, if you try to put, you know, one of these other guys, you know, if I put one of the other guys I'm a fan of in there and try to picture them winning the belt off of a DQ, like if I were to try to picture Woodley winning the belt off of DQ or McGregor winning the belt off of DQ, you know, versus Poirier or one of these, you know, Stipe, like if Stipe would have, you know, imagine if they would have did the Cormier fight and then, you know, when Cormier was clawing his eyes out, like let's just say, you know, they called it a DQ, like, you know how disappointed I would be if you had the rematch and then they gave Stipe the belt off of him getting his eyes clawed out? Like, yeah, I thought it was not cool. I thought they should take a point away off DC. You know, he should take accountability for it because it was wrong. But I would never want – that was just one example. But I would never want to see, you know, guys that I'm really a fan of win a belt in that fashion. That's just kind of lame to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean – yeah, you just can't hand a belt over. I mean, you got to earn it to me. I will have more respect for you earning a belt than somebody just handing you a belt. I think, and it gives the fans more to believe in as you as a champ, you know. And I always say this, that when we look at when we look at fighters, we like to grow with the fighters. We like to see them go through the struggles of, you know, fighting their way to the top and all that, because that way you become a true fan and you have followed this person through the ups and downs of getting to the top. And I mean, I just love that aspect of MMA, that they just don't give it to you, that you got to earn it. And I just love that part about MMA, man. Earn your keep, earn your title. The fans will respect you even more. And it's all about building your brand and your fan base.
And I think at the end of the day, like, you know, to that point, I think, you know, Aljamain would respect himself more if he were to win the belt off, you know, in a legitimate way. But, you know, off that topic, you know, maybe they'll do an interim belt for my boy Rob Font. Maybe they won't. I mean, you know, in conclusion, you know, I think it makes sense just being the timeline. You know, I would prefer to see Aljamain stripped of the belt, because the whole situation is just kind of like a little bit fraudulent to me. I feel like it's just kind of whack, you know, for lack of a better word, it's just kind of a whack situation. And I don't really think it's good for the sport to just kind of do that kind of thing and show guys that you could just win in such a fluky way. And then, you know, we'll respect you as a champ and not strip you of the belt. I don't know. I just, cause then you could just sit out for a year. Like, I don't know. I think that's kind of lame to me, but, I mean, off that topic, I mean, the next thing, speaking of my boy Woodley, who I just mentioned a few minutes ago, I think now is a good time. You think now is a good time?
Yeah, we can go into it.
All right, so I think this is something that, you know, for people listening, or, you know, people that add us on Twitter or whatever case may be, I think a lot of people are interested in this topic right now. So that's why, like, I'm trying to prioritize covering this topic, and I'm kind of interested in this topic at this point too. So I actually want to cover it regardless. And you know, I think you actually got me more into the fight, telling me that you felt like my boy Woodley had a chance to win. And you saying that, if you didn't say that, I don't think I would be as interested as I am now in the fight. But since that, you kind of broke that down, why you felt like he might have a chance, that actually made me much more interested in the fight itself. So that's why I want to cover it now. And, you know, I guess I'll kick it to you. Would you want to give a bit, you know, give a few things to the people, kind of like what you were saying to me about why you feel, why do you feel like that my boy Tyron Woodley has a chance to go over to boxing and get a win over Jake Paul?
I think Woodley, first off, as me and you talked about, I think the first thing he has to do is he has to get with boxing people. That's number one. He has to get with people, train with people that are in the boxing game. You can't train with your MMA folks, because you got to get your arms and your body used to those 8 to 12-ounce gloves compared to the 4 to 6-ounce glove in the UFC. That's number one. Number two, I think Woodley could win this fight because during the early part of his career, if you follow him in MMA, he was actually knocking motherfuckers out. It wasn't like he was going in there and wrestling people and hammer fisting them to death. He was actually going in there boxing people up, knocking them out with good boxing skills, good boxing hands. His hands were fast, and he knew how to put together combinations. If he could bring all that to the boxing game, I wouldn't be surprised if he was to beat what's his name? Jake Logan? Jake Paul? Yeah, Jake Paul? Logan?
Yeah, Jake Logan.
I think he could beat him, man. He just has to come in there with the mindset of, I have to defend myself, and I have to put pressure on him and you have to be sharp with your punches. If he can do that, man, and get with boxing folks, I wouldn't be surprised if he walks out of there with a win. And if he don't win, it'll be a competitive fight. But I like him to win if he get with boxing people.
Yeah, I mean, I said it when we were on the phone. I'd like to see him go over and train, you know, maybe fly out to the UK, go train with Anthony Joshua, go over to, I want to say you said he's from St. Louis. Man, what's the dude's name there? He's supposed to fight Errol Spence. Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford. I think you said he's from St. I think they're both from St. Louis. I might have that. I'm not sure. Where's he from?
Crawford is from Omaha.
Where's Omaha?
But I think Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't even know where that is, man. Is that in the Midwest? Where is that?
Yeah, that's in the Midwest.
Okay, so
I think they played the Little League World Series in Omaha.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to say is that, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him go over. Those are just a couple of Anthony Joshua go over there. I mean, they're both from the Midwest. Woodley's from St. Louis, so I think you even said they might be friends. So I think that might be the key right there. Go link up with your boy Terrence Crawford. I think he'll be good, you know, and maybe get a couple guys. Maybe get Pacquiao's coach over there, be training with him. Maybe even link up with Tyson Fury. I'm sure Tyson Fury is going to be in the States more this summer because he's going to be traveling, you know, back and forth for the Wilder fight. I think the Wilder fight is happening in the States, I want to say. But, yeah, I think he should link up with some of these boxing champions and really lock in. Maybe even do some work with the Mayweather fighter there, Gervonta Davis. Maybe he can even get some working with Gervonta Davis. I think if Tyron Woodley can really lock in and really take it serious and meet up with all these dudes and get a hell of a lot of rounds in. I think he's got it, man. I don't think this if he could come correct and slow down on the, you know, sell the fight, but don't just sell the fight. Don't just expect that you're gonna win. Like, train as if. You know what I mean? Don't think about the opponent. Just train and get back to your old, you know, boxing roots. You know that made me a fan of you. You know, that made me a fan of him, and go in there and get it done, man. I think that's the path for him.
It's all gonna start with his training, bro. I mean, everybody can. I mean, every fight starts with your training. We all know that. But I think it's really, 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 really imperative that he has the proper training going into that fight with Jake. Jake has definitely improved, and he does take his training seriously. And if you come in there and you haven't taken your training seriously, he'll embarrass you in there. So, yeah, man, I really think Term has a chance, bro. I really do think he has a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Because, like, you know, one of my friends came over and was, I didn't mean to say he came over. I mean, he hit me up and he was like, oh, like, you know, you got to give Jake Paul some respect, bro. Like, he puts in work. And I'm like, I'm not trying to not respect him. I mean, I'll say this. If you're talking about respecting him in terms of his training, you're saying he puts in work. Yes, I respect him. If you're saying respect him for the wins he's had, I absolutely do not respect him. I do not respect him because there is nothing there. You know, if you're saying he's putting in work, like, oh, he's beating all these guys, bro. He beat an NBA player, and he beat a NCAA wrestler, pretty much, and Ben Askren. Those are not boxers. You know what I'm saying? Like, who has he fought? Like, we used to always say this. Who has who fought? Like, really, who has he fought? Nobody. He has no credible wins to me. No credible wins. Not even slightly credible. You know, you box guys that don't box. Like, that's not I mean, Woodley doesn't even box, but to be fair, he's actually a striking style fighter. You know, he I wouldn't doubt that he has trained with boxers before, you know, and he does come from knocking guys out. He won his title off of breaking faces. You know, he won his title off breaking people's faces. So this is the first time that so when you say, you know, pay him respect, okay, cool, I'm paying him respect to his training, to his seriousness about the sport, wanting to learn and wanting to get better. When you say respect him putting in work as in his resume, there is no respect for me because he doesn't have a resume. Where is his resume? Like, I don't see a resume, okay? And when you want really want to get down to it, like, when you really want to get down to it, this is the first fight. This is his first real fight. This is the first fight that you're that he's fighting a guy that I actually feel like could beat him, okay? Like, I didn't feel like Ben Askren could beat him. You know, I supported Askren just because he's the MMA guy. I never want to see MMA guys lose to boxing guys, no matter who it is. You know, I didn't even want to see Artem Lobov lose to Paulie D or what's his name over there. I don't even know his name, but he fought the dude Paulie. Yeah, we don't need – I don't even know who that is, but he was fighting him, and I knew he was from boxing. I didn't even want to see Artem Lobov lose to him, and I'm not even really like a fan of Artem Lobov like that. I mean, I respect Lobov. I'm not really a, like it didn't really matter to me, but I still didn't want him to lose. And for the record, he didn't lose. Actually, Artem Lobov actually beat that boxer. So you guys kind of, you know, they talked a lot of smack going into that one. And the boxing, y'all didn't come up short, man. Y'all came up real short. That was kind of embarrassing, But, yeah, so I always root for him. But the thing is that this is the first time the dude is in a real fight with a guy that can break his face. So I think while Woodley needs to take him seriously, I think Jake Paul needs to take Woodley seriously. And I think he needs to realize that this is the first fight where you're getting in front of a guy that you're actually in danger of being in front of. Like, and we saw how McGregor's hands didn't really they debatably didn't translate as well in the 8-ounce gloves or whatever. It didn't seem like his shot had the same power. If they did have the same power, I think we all know how that would have went if the power was translated, because McGregor was landing a hell of a lot of good shots, but we won't even go into that. This is the first time Jake Paul's in front of a guy who could literally break his face. And I think in the same respect that they're saying I need to give credit to Jake Paul, I think they need to give credit to Woodley because he's a beast.
Yeah, I really think he can do it, man. I feel it, man. I feel like he could really, really win this fight. But he has to come out there with the right frame of mind, man, and with the right training. If he don't, he's going to lose, man, and I think this is a winnable fight for him. I mean, he's going to get a nice little payday out of this, but just imagine if he was to beat Jake. He could possibly become he could possibly be the face of Triller for beating Jake. Because they definitely got their wagon hitched to Jake. So, yeah, man, I feel it, bro. I really think he can win it.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. I really like your optimism towards it. this is a rare case here that we're having this. That you're talking positively on my boy. So I'm pretty happy about that. And you said he could become the face of what?
Triller. The people that put the fights on.
Oh, become the face of Triller. Yeah, I didn't. It cut out when you said, I didn't really hear you what you said there. But
Yeah.
No, I think you could. I mean, and that honestly could even be. You know, I would love that to see that for him at this point. I would love to see that. I mean, even though I want to say he's 38 years old, I don't know where he feels like that he's at in his. I don't know, like, where he feels like he's at. I mean, I know that's kind of getting up there for still being in combat sports, but at the same time, like, I mean, I guess, you know, even though your body slows down, you're really, at the same coin, you're as old as you feel, you know? So it's, depending on how he feels, you never know. If he goes in there and crushes this kid, you know, maybe he keeps on boxing over there. You know, that you just said that, and that kind of really just put that idea in my head, because I wasn't even thinking that. I wasn't even thinking further than this one fight.
Yeah, I think you don't want to put your, you don't want to look too far ahead. You want to look towards the fight. But man, if he was to win, bro, this would be like, this could be life. I ain't gonna say it could be life changing for him, but it could be life changing money he could make.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, especially where, I mean, they got a guy coming over there that has the resume that he has. You know, I think you kind of got to pay a guy like that. You know, he's coming in there.
Yeah, a former UFC champion.
Yeah, he's a hell of a name. Go ahead. Tell it to the people. I want you to tell it
to
the
people. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, he got a resume, number one. He was a former UFC champion. What, he had three on his, he, what, he had three, maybe four titles. What, he had four title defenses?
Yeah, four.
Yeah, four title defenses. And he always in shape, so you know his body going to be there. Man, I just think they could, if he was to win, man, he could, man, it'll probably rejuvenate his pockets, but I think it might rejuvenate his fire as far as maybe getting back into MMA and getting back to where he was. So, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen if he was to win this fight. If he was to win this fight, you don't think Bellator would come knocking on his door there and be like, hey, Tyron, hey, man, why don't you come join us, you know? I just think it'll open some doors for him. And that's all you want at his age, at 38, 39, is you want doors to be open. You don't want the end of your career is behind the next door you open. So that's why I, if he could do this, it'll be great for him and his career probably, and definitely his finances.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that he's done, though. I don't even think that he's – I don't think he's at the end of his career, you know, me personally. I don't think so. I mean, it's interesting what you said before, how it's, you know, not having to worry about the other threats there, like the – you know, he's in there fighting with guys that, you know, are world-class wrestlers, like, you know, Kobe Covington and Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns. Like, these are great – these are very, very high-level wrestling grapplers. You know what I'm saying? So it's not easy. Like you're trying to get back with your striking game, but you're also, you know, have the threat that if these dudes take you down, or they clinch you, or they, you know, they're pressing you against the cage, or whatever, you know, that might shut down your whole game plan. But I like what you said the other day. It was like, if he can just focus on his hands, maybe he will let his hands go more, knowing that he doesn't have all these other threats.
Yeah, and I think that is a major, major thing right now for him, is he doesn't have to overthink it. Only thing he has to do is defend and put together combinations. Defend yourself, put in combinations, know when to hold, know when to box on the outside. Only thing he got to worry about is boxing. That's it.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm definitely excited about that one. You know, I think we'll be talking about that more on this show. I mean, it's still like a little over 2 months away. I mean, it seems further away than it actually is, especially nowadays when, I mean, a day in my life, I mean, a day is like a month goes by in the same time as a week, it feels like for me. So, I mean, really saying the fight's in August is not saying that it's far away at all in my life, because these days fly by, man. They absolutely fly by. So I definitely think we'll be talking about it more and kind of analyzing that, especially as the news comes out, especially as the rule set comes out, and hopefully it's not any bogus rule set, and hopefully they come out with, you know, a legitimate rule set. I mean, at least give them the same, at least give them the same, like, standard as these other fights. You know, the, I saw the rule set for the Floyd Mayweather fight, you know, with the other, with Logan Paul today, and I was just like, man, really? Like, what kind of fight is that? Like, you really read the rules, and it's like, that doesn't even sound like any fun. Like, yeah, they could get knockouts, but you have no judges, no official decision at the end, no this, no that. It's like, you know, the rounds are weird. It's like 8-3 minutes. I'm just like, man, y'all just, they come out with the most strange rule sets, man. But, you know, that's another story. You know, we'll be talking about it, that one, a little bit more soon. You know, the thing that I wanted to get into, I mean, we pretty much had that. Yep, we had. So the thing that I wanted to get into is next weekend, okay, is Key's birthday for the listeners. And, Lee, I don't know if you forgot that it was my birthday, but if you, either way, I wanted to remind you one more time. It's my birthday next Saturday, and the UFC has just coincidentally, whether or not it's a coincidence, I don't really know, but Key has put together a spectacular card for their boy Keys, man. They put together a spectacular card. I want to say, yeah, the top three fights, I want to say, are just straight bangers. I'm just like, wow. I'm just like, wow. Like, I couldn't even tell you the other two fights on the main card or the prelims, but I'm sure they got some other bangers there too. But I just know the top three fights are bangers, and I'm just like, the top three fights are bangers, and I'm just like, wow, man. Wow. Like, and you know, Nate Diaz is going to fight over there, you know, with Edwards, and then you're going to, that one's going to be a crazy fight. I want to say they signed it for 5 rounds. Do you know? Did they sign a contract to do that one for 5 rounds?
I want to say that's going to be a 5-round co-main event.
Well, because you have that one would be the co main event, because you actually have two title fights on that card. You have the, because I forgot that you have the Figueiredo and Moreno 2 is on that card. Did you forget about that?
Man, so I wonder if they're going to have 3 5-round fights. Well, they done had 3 5-round fights before when they had 3 title fights on one card. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, and I just think a fight like that, Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards, like, you kind of have to, like, because there's certain fights where the fans just should have gotten a 5-round fight. I mean, to pull up an example off top, Cowboy Cerrone and Robbie Lawler, you know, everybody thought that should have been a 5-round fight, and me included. You know, you do a Cowboy and Lawler fight, come on, man. You can't tell me that's a 3-rounder, like, that's a straight banger of a fight. Like, you got to do the people right and make that 5 rounds. You got to do the fighters right. They want to fight for 5 rounds. Like, come on now. But yeah, that's just then there's other examples. There's other examples of that. But I'm sorry, I've had such a bad cold the past couple of days. But yeah, now that one's got to be 5 rounds. And, you know, Edwards and Diaz is going to be a banger. Figueiredo and Moreno 2 is going to be a banger. My boy Brandon Moreno is defending his belt against Davison Figueiredo. He beat him in the last fight, and now he's defending his belt against Figueiredo. Figueiredo is going to try to get his belt back. So that's an interesting fight right there.
Man, the first fight was so good. I thought Moreno won that fight, but I think Moreno is going to have to bring a little something extra to this fight, something that Figgy hasn't seen for him. And there was a lot of talk that Figueiredo was ill during that fight. That's why he gassed out so early. So I'm expecting to see a better Figgy in this fight. So I need Moreno to add something else to his game so that he can, you know, have Figueiredo thinking again. Figueiredo was doing a lot of thinking in the first fight instead of fighting. So, if I was to have to pick right now, man, something in me tell me Figueiredo is going to look better and that he's going to pull out the win. If I had to pick right now, but between now and, you know, the time of that fight, you know, we'll see what happens. But if I was to pick, had to pick right now, I think we see a better Figueiredo, faster Figueiredo. I don't think he gasses out in this fight. And I see him coming forward a lot more in this fight than he was in the first fight.
You know, I will go back and just say, you know, if we go back to Figueiredo's fight with who did he fight? He fought a wrestler.
Megan O'Leary's husband.
Nah, not him. He fought another guy. I don't remember, man. I haven't ate dinner yet, so I really don't remember who the guy was that he fought. But it was a big time wrestler. It was someone who actually got cut from the UFC. I want to say he fights for another promotion now, but he was a top guy because his wrestling was so dominant. And that was actually Figueiredo's. I want to say that's Figueiredo's only loss was against that guy. I want to say that's the only loss on his record right now, because he was undefeated at that time. I want to say he was like 12-0 or something like this when he fought the guy, and then the guy took him down, and just his top pressure was so, he was so dominant. Figueiredo just, he would be swinging for the fences when he was on his feet, but every time he just kept getting taken down, and he couldn't do much. So I think if Moreno can implement, you know, mix up some takedowns, try to hold him down early in the fight, and then kind of mix up, you know, that with his boxing, I think, you know, Moreno can get it done. But as far as going striking again, obviously I think Moreno can outbox Figueiredo. But do I think he can outbox the judges? No, I don't. I think the judges will rob him again if they just have a stand-up fight. Yes, you may see a better Figueiredo, but even if he does look great for two rounds and then loses the other three rounds, do I think the judges would do the right thing and give the belt away? No, I do not, because the UFC judges are suspect all the time when it comes to title fights. Very, very, very suspect. And I just don't expect it because they always nod to the champion, even when it's not the right thing to do. So I like what you said. If I had a pick today, I'd probably go with Figueiredo because I just think they would rob Moreno again, even though I'd be rooting for him. But yeah, and then and what do you think about the Adesanya and Vettori fight? I think Vettori was making headlines earlier today. He was talking trash about Adesanya earlier today.
Yeah, you was talking about Juicy A. Formiga, who beat Figueiredo. He beat him back at UFC Fight Night, Thompson versus Pettis. So, yeah, that's Juicy A. He's no longer with the UFC. But speaking of Vettori and Adesanya, Vettori has to look at the fight tape of Izzy versus John Blachowicz. That is the blueprint of beating Iggy. Iggy is not a good fighter on the mat. He can counter-strike and strike you to death, but if you take him down, he probably can get to his feet, but it's a struggle for him to get to his feet. And it was like when Jan took him down, he couldn't get up. It was like, man, he just was just there on the mat, unless the referee was standing him up. But Vettori has a good mat game. So you can go back and watch him versus Kevin Harlan. So I think Izzy has to improve his takedown defense because Vettori is coming. Vettori is going to try to take you down, bro. So your takedown defense needs to be on point. And when he's shooting for those takedowns, your uppercut game should be there too, because that's the easiest way to knock somebody out when they're shooting. It's hit them with an uppercut flush on the chin, and they going out. Because their momentum is coming forward, and your momentum is going up, and that's an automatic knockout. So, if Izzy can keep the fight on the feet, I think he beats Vettori easily. But if Vettori can pressure him and take him to the mat, I think Vettori could possibly win a decision. But like you said, UFC judges sometimes is suspect. But if Vettori is dominant in the ground game, you can't deny the man. So whoever can implement their game plan is going to be the winner of this fight.
Yeah, to me, it's like, you know, I need to go back and watch it because I haven't seen that first fight. I never saw that first fight, but, you know, they had a split decision, and I want to say I heard people say that, you know, Adesanya had a lot of problems with Vettori striking. In a fight where they were mainly just striking, they said that he had that Vettori bought seemed to bring him a lot of problems. That's what people said. And the fight went to split decision, and a lot of people feel like Adesanya lost that fight. And even Vettori feels like that he still won that fight. And that's why I kind of need to go back. I mean, of course, they're both different fighters today. That was then, and this is now. That was probably like 3 years ago at this point. But, you know, I do want to go back and watch it just to see. And, you know, if I had a pick today, I think if I had a pick today, I'd probably pick Vettori to win. I think he this time is going to, you know, I think he has evolved in more ways than Adesanya has evolved, and I think that would be the reason why he would win. And it's because Adesanya, he got dominated so bad in his last fight when he faced a guy who could take him down. And I don't think it's impossible to take him down. You know, I don't think it was just because you had like a much heavier Pekovic on top of you is why he was able to be taken down. I mean, obviously that's a big part, but at the same time, I don't think it's impossible for Vettori to take Adesanya down, especially if he could just like kind of mix up a lot of, you know, and just have really, really, you know, constantly changing what he's doing. And bring in some really good footwork into this rematch. I think Vettori could, you know, if he could come in with really slick footwork and keep on changing up what he's doing and really try to confuse Izzy and try to land some takedowns. Now, I think if he could do some work to the body while he's putting in work to the body, you know, implement some kicks in there, get some leg kicks in there for sure. You know, Adesanya doesn't have, you know, he has pretty skinny legs. So I think if Vettori can implement some leg kicks into it too, I think that would make Adesanya a bit less mobile and therefore a bit more vulnerable to the takedown. From there, I think Vettori could secure the takedown and from that point tire him out. And then each next time he gets up, he'd be a bit more tired, a bit more easy to land on. And with that, I think Vettori would at this point, I would pick Vettori to win the fight.
Yeah, looking at the stats, man, Vettori actually leads in, like, all the major stats. Significant strikes landed per minute, significant strike accuracy, takedown accuracy, and submission average. But one big thing that Izzy has an advantage is Izzy has an 80-inch reach advantage, whereas Vettori has a 74-inch reach advantage. So Vettori has to come in close to close. He has to close the distance, which could subject him to being, you know, taking some punishment from Izzy in the striking game. So I think that's what they when watching the fight. Look at how Izzy uses his reach advantage in this fight.
Yeah, I definitely think that could be a huge factor in the fight. We'll definitely be talking about this more next week because that's when the event is and when Key's birthday is as well. Happy birthday to me. We're all out of time for the show, so we'll close it out right here. I think we got to a lot of topics. I'm very happy with it. Like I always say, thank you to the listeners. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got for that. The floor is yours, bro.
Hey, man, once again, great show tonight. We did cover a lot tonight. Good gracious. I'm looking at the rundown, and well, not the rundown, but the show write-up, and we covered a lot. But, you know, always fun doing the show, always fun talking combat sports. You know, really don't have much to say. Everybody be safe. Take care of yourselves. If you believe in the vaccine, get it. If you don't, it's a personal choice. I'm still practicing social distancing and wearing my mask when I'm out in public. Once again, that's a personal choice based on, you know, your personal decisions. But have a good weekend. Everybody take care. Lee and Key signing out. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. And always in closing the show, we end on a peace.